the death where we will see the gifts of God is in Christian meetings. And we began to look at some things a couple of weeks back, and then even at this point, so just, you know, we'll just pick it up from where we stopped last week. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, that word there is things of the Spirit. It says, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I so we said last week that when we refer to the things of the Spirit, we are actually referring to the recreated human spirit. Now, when you refer to the recreated human spirit, I think I taught this in concerning spirituals, hopefully to be out at camp meeting, that we often think that, you know, there is the man who is born again, then there is the Holy Spirit who now comes and stays in him. So you begin to have two spirits, as it were, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. Well, I have explained that to you, that what is called the reborn spirit is the indwelling of the Spirit in the Spirit of man. That is what it is called. So it has just one identity. That's what it has. So when we refer to the things of the Spirit, for example, when we refer to the manifestation of the Spirit, we are not referring to the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We are talking about the manifestation of the recreated human spirit, you know, which is explained to be the indwelling of the Spirit in man. That is exactly what it is. So that manifestation is what we have. The unveiling is what we have today. I thought that some time back. So when we refer to the recreated human spirit, we are referring to the human spirit born again. The human spirit that is of God, that, you know, is the temple of God, the human spirit that is the seed of God. That's what we're referring to here. Now, therefore, when we begin to look at meetings, and we start talking about the meetings, we definitely are referring to the participation of the recreated Okay, go on to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's just run through some things in a moment. A personal, they say the Spirit prays. He said, my spirit prays. My understanding is unfruitful. Habit, he said, I pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding, I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. Now, when we now look at 1 Corinthians 14, now we can just run down 1 Corinthians 12 again, verse 4. Now, there are diversity of gifts for the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, that's ministry, it says, but the same Lord. The rest of operations is the same God that which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. To one is given by the Spirit, the word of knowledge, to another the word of wisdom, then the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the same of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, so under the interpretation of tongues, all this worketh the one and self-same Spirit. So, there is no encounter afterwards. It is the one and self-same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. So, when we go to, so therefore, when it comes to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, we have diversities. So, when we come to 1 Corinthians 14, we begin to see the diversity. And I said the other time that a meeting will take the identity of the knowledge of the people they are in. I'll take that again. A meeting, when Christians come together, it will take the identity of the kind of knowledge that they have. Now, let me use this example, though they are not born again. But when Paul got to Ephesus and he saw some people, and those people that he saw, you know, he saw them as disciples, adherents. Now, you don't use the word disciple without doctrine. That means that when Paul entered, you know, it wasn't just that he felt the atmosphere. When he got in, he saw the kind of teaching, the kind of things they were talking about. That's why I call them disciples. The word disciples are students. That means they were learning something. Now, when he got to Ephesus and he saw that they were learning something, he now asked a question. Maybe he's going to another session. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That means in their teaching, the Holy Ghost was not emphasized. So he saw it. And yeah, you don't know about the Holy Ghost. He said, I don't know about the Holy Ghost. Unto them, what then were you baptized? Say, on the joy of baptism. Then the first time I became the teacher, he got them all born again. And you see, whatever will happen at that point, that means that the doctrine that prevalent in the place will dictate the kind of manifestation, better say, demonstration that you are going to see. If you go to a place, for instance, where they believe that speaking in tongues is a language from heaven, as language in Japan and Russia and East Africa, you are going to see it in the meeting. If you get to a place and they are taught, so it is the kind of teaching that they receive that lets you have, that gives you the identity, that gives an identity to the kind of meeting that they hold. If they are taught, for instance, that when it comes to speaking in tongues, the Spirit has to move you, you will see how they will function. When I used to teach around, like more than ever before, when I go to a place, I already know. You will see it. There will be a subtle effect in how they receive things. You rarely see it. And that is why a lot of churches, as it were, a lot of places, they wind people. They get them into the mood. They do a lot of things, you know, because of the kind of teaching that they have. So a meeting will take the shape of the ministry gifts prevalent in the place. It will always take the shape of the ministry gifts prevalent in that particular place. Instead of finally to get to Corinth and find out that people were just talking in tongues and didn't care, you know, what manner of people, you know, came in and all that. In fact, I was reading something the other day. I was trying to answer a question on the internet, and I said Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 8, he said about the Corinthian church, he said, I know that you guys are enriched in utterance, in knowledge, in insight. He said, why not also, you know, abound in the grace to give? And I smiled. This is the church we call Cana Church. And I'm telling you, if you come to the present day age, that church is going to be chief church. The same church we are referring to. So the kind of doctrine, you know, the kind of teaching, and I saw again, when Paul was telling them, I will not have you ignorant, that word he used, I will not have you ignorant, was not something he was about to achieve. It's actually supposed to be, I did not put you in ignorance. That's the way it's supposed to sound. I did not put you in ignorance. He was not coming to teach them the things of the Spirit. What he did in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 was to re-emphasize it and now bring out the other part of the inspiration. So oftentimes, you know, you see that, you know, people will take the shape. They will just take the shape of the kind of prevalent doctrine. A prevalent doctrine will be dictated, you know, by the leadership. Now, I'll give another instance. Look at Acts 11. When Peter came up and he went to the house of Cornelius and the apostles came together and then they said, why did you go to the house of Gentiles? And everybody began to argue and all that. If you see it again, after they all heard Peter and then Peter just came up and all Peter said was that Jesus appeared to him. And, you know, James, the pastor, as it were, you know, just said, well, that means God has granted repentance to the Gentiles. And then he just said, God, and Peter said, who can withstand water? And they just left it like that. And as they left the meeting, they just left again and went to Antioch, and they saw Jews, and they went to Jews alone to preach the gospel to them. So it will always take the shape of the leadership, the kind of leadership that you have. And I said that last week, where people believe that the gifts of the Spirit are distributed to people according to fasting and prayer and according to age, you will see it in the congregation. When there is a meeting, and oftentimes, and look up, I'm going to say this now, we're still going to get there, but let me give you an adjacent. When you see that the power gifts are prominent in a local church, it is a baby church. I'm not saying through the local church. I'm not saying in the outreaches. I'm saying in the church. It is a baby church. We're going to see some in a moment. It's a baby church. It says a lot about the doctrine they're exposed to. When you see that the power gifts, I'm talking about the gifts of healing, the workings of miracles, and the gifts of faith, are prominent, it shows again the kind of understanding of that congregation. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14. No doubt, when Paul now begins to say to this church, and he says, convert, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, convert earnestly the best gifts. I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, when he said that, you know, the kind of, you see, And this is what I used to tell people. When you read a book, for instance, I don't know if Pastor Lam or Pastor Wally is still ago, that when you read a book, assuming you read the book of Ephesians, when Paul wrote the Ephesians, he was not expecting them to ask those in Corinth to email the letter to them, their own letter. So if you can just take the book on its own and read it, you won't be lost. A simple instance. When Paul said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," 2 Corinthians 8:9, "Who though he was rich, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." You know the carnal man just said, "The grace of God." Jesus was rich, then he became poor. Then you are now rich. The first thing is that you are not rich. That should at least let you think straight. I mean, those who quote it for wealth are those who are not rich. Are we together? Now, within the same chapter, if you read verse 1 and 2, he commended the church of Thessalonica for the grace to give when they were poor. He said about them, then he went and said Titus. He said, Titus is coming. He's bringing gifts of the poor. He said, so that you too can walk in the grace that the Thessalonica church walked in. So when he was not saying that in another verse 9, say you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who then became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. People have thought that that grace is to be rich. That grace is to give. The emphasis on the grace in chapter 8, verse chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians is to give. So in respect, okay, maybe I should just show you. Just a bit more so up there. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, just on there quickly. We need to know some of these things. Look at verse 1. Brethren, we with the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. I want to say Macedonia, I just missed that. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Can you see? For to their power, they are recorded that beyond their power, they were willing to of themselves. Praying is what angel which receive the gift, take upon us the person of the ministry of the saints. So it was saying that this church they didn't have money, but in their poverty they gave. Do you understand that now? So that's the grace from them. Now watch this. This is grace. And this they did, as not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Yes, so much that we desire Titus, who that as he had begun, so he will also finish in you the same grace. Can you see what the grace is talking about? Are you following now? Now look at 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything in faith, utterance, and knowledge, in all divisions of your Lord to us, that you abound in what? This grace also. Are you following now? Verse 9. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your law. Now, from that point, is verse 9 clear to you? For you know what the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sins he became poor, that you through his poverty might. So the grace was to be poor when you are rich. Is that not what the grace was? The grace is not to be rich when you are poor. I want to get right here. Is to give out of what you have. That is what he's talking about. But you see, oftentimes people will use statements out of context. The grace is clear there. So when Paul was saying 1 Corinthians 12:1, and he says, "Convert earnestly the best gifts," you don't need to go far. Just read down to chapter 14, verse 1, and he said, "Convert again." He used the same thing. He says, "Convert spiritual gifts rather than you may prophesy." Now, when you read down, you know that Paul was saying, in Christian meetings, desire things of the Spirit. You are not to desire what you already have. We didn't say desire to have them. It's talking about desire to function in the gifts of the Spirit in Christian meetings. That's what we are teaching. He says, desire the things of the Spirit in the church. So that was why when he began to speak, he spoke about tongues. He that speaks in tongues, you know, he was not teaching you by precept and example. He that speaks in tongues, he says he speaks not unto men but unto God. So that means that tongues is primarily a devotional thing. Are you together? But it becomes ministry when you are matured. So at the level where tongues is only devotional, it means you are still a baby Christian. But when tongues becomes ministry, that means when you desire the best gifts, it is tongues plus what? Interpretation. That means you are growing. So it was actually talking about growth in the gifts of the Spirit. So when you speak in tongues, no man understands him. How big is the Spirit? He speaks mysteries. So I mean, so his tongues is a gift of it on his own. He's now saying where you are matured. The maturity is not to major on a gift of the Spirit. The maturity is to grow in the fullness of the demonstrations of the Spirit, where you can actually minister. And we'll see this in our Africa meeting, I hope so. That even the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of healings, everything is in dimensions. You can see, you see dimensions of maturity in the way you minister. So he says here that when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation and you see tongues alone, you are still a baby Christian. So he says desire. Desire things of the Spirit. Much more, at least, much more to prophesy. If you speak in tongues, he says no man understands, that means on its own, you cannot minister. Albeit in the Spirit, you speak mysteries unto God. Now he says in verse 3, he that prophesies, he says, he that prophesies edifies the church. He edifies the church. Comfort and exhortation to the church. Verse 4 says, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. Verse 5 now says, he that speaks, I would that you all speak with tongues, but not that you will what? Prophesy, that you may edify the church. He said, he that, except when you speak with tongues, you interpret, that the church will receive edification. So, look at that. So when he says, I will that rather, he was asking, this is a church he was taking from milk to what? Meat. So he's taking them from milk to meat. From milk to meat. And he never played down on tongues. He was referring to church meetings. He was referring to church meetings. So now, let's go back a bit. So we're looking at meetings. So tongues is a part of the meeting. But the role tongues play in the meeting, listen to this now, tongues is a startup. It's a startup. Tongues is like a lead. It's like a lead in the things of the Spirit in the meeting. But you know that there are places today, tongues is the end point. It's a startup. It's a startup. So when you speak with tongues, you say now interpret. So the flow, if we're going to look at it, starts with tongues. And it will end with tongues. let me say that in a joke. You know, see that. So it says that tongue interpretation is prophecy. Now look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. I won't turn there immediately. The Holy Ghost came and he brought men, and people began to speak with tongues, verse 4. And then, as we gave them utterance, and people heard them magnify God, that means it was interpreted. And, you know, they said they were mad. Now, look at even the way things began in the church. What was first prominent was utterance and revelation. That was the first prominence. That was the first hallmark of the church age. Do you know that? Listen to what I'm going to say now. Do you know that before then, Peter and them apostles, they had seen the revelation of power? If you look at Luke 9, Luke 10, and Matthew 10, we have seen the same people cast out devils and heal the sick. Now, yes, the church age began with utterance and then revelation. By chapter 3 of Acts of the Apostles, we now see power gifts. You now saw the man at the beautiful gate who was crippled, who was now healed. You see the gift of faith in operation. You see the gift of healing and the workings of miracles, all in operations. This is a man that has never walked. So his ankle bones receive strength. That's a miracle. That's a walk is a miracle. And you see the gifts of faith in operation. You see again, the church age began from utterance, revelation, then power gifts. Look at Acts 19:2. Paul in Ephesus with those 12 folks, when he began with them, Bible says he laid hands on them, and then the Holy Ghost came on them, Acts 19:6, and then they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Then he gathered them together and began to teach them. He taught them. By the time you get to verse 11, the Bible now talks about signs and wonders and miracles. Special miracles were wrought by the hand of Paul. But you see that the start-up point was what? Utterance. And you can see revelation, because whenever you hear tongues and there's an interpretation, the prophecy will convey something. Are we together? Does prophecy convey? Look up. Does prophecy convey tongues? It conveys a message. So therefore we look at a revelation. So that means in Acts 19, there was the utterance and then the revelation gifts. And then much later, you see the power gifts in operation. Are we together? Good. Now, when we come to a meeting, or when there is a church meeting, notice I said a church meeting. When there is a church meeting, what takes preeminence in the church meetings are utterance gifts. That was why it is called the demonstration of spirit. It is the utterance gifts and the revelation gifts. Then the power gifts happen later. We look at something now. When we come to church, that Paul is saying, when we are in church, he says, rather that you may prophesy. When we are in church. When we are in church, rather that you may prophesy. Now, we now come to church, and then he says we all speak with tongues. Look up now. This is it. If you do this one, we all come together and we speak with tongues. Now, when we speak with tongues, when we come together, two sets of people will be lost. One doesn't speak with tongues and is born again. Can that happen? Sure. It happened in Acts 8, and definitely happened in Acts 19. He comes in, he doesn't speak with tongues, he is born again. Paul says, he's an unlearned man. How can he say amen at your giving of thanks? Now, we all come together, we are all giving thanks to God in tongues. How can he say amen at your giving of thanks? He says, you have done well, but the other person is not edified. He does not use edify. Notice verse 16, 1 Corinthians 14. Does he use unbeliever there? Look at it. Look at it yourself. Huh? Does he use, what does he use there? Unlearned. He that occupies the seat or the room of the unlearned. How can he say amen? At the giving of thanks. Now, when you all come together and somebody comes in, That means he's not part of Paul's church. Maybe he came from the other side. So how can you say amen as your giving of thanks? Say he is not edified. Look up now. That means praise sessions should actually edify us. Are you with me? They should what? I told you education is education will bring what? Comfort and exhortation. They are the same thing. Edification means to build up via the tools of comfort and exhortation. Paraklesis and parakaleo. It means to help. You can't help this person. That means he doesn't know what you are saying. How can you help him? So he says you've given thanks well, but the other person is not edified. Why? You were blessing with the Spirit. And as talking things of the Spirit, he is not informed. So Paul now says, I thank my God as we come down. Now look at verse 23. Now 23 and 24 and 25. Verse 24. So this is when you all come together and then you all prophesy. Yes, sir. When you speak with my child, that one is it. What you know, and they're conjuring me. The unbeliever or what? What would they say? They say you are what? You are out of your mind. Oh, pastor, you stop using King James. You use King James. They say you are what? You are mad because you don't understand what you are saying. Now look at 24. 24 says, if all prophesy. Now what does that mean? If you all do what? Speak with tongues and don't always leave prophecy on its own. Prophecy is taught as tongues and interpretation in the church age. Is that clear? We don't just prophesy like this. Are you getting what I'm saying? We don't just prophesy like this. Prophecy is tongues plus interpretation. Are we together?
Yes.
Now, and you all prophesy, what happens? And there comes in who? The what? The what? What does he believe and what is it? What happens? He is convinced of all. He is judged of all. Okay? What happens to him? Good. And report that God is with him. What happens to him there? There is a revelation. Right? The secrets of his heart are made manifest. So he groups the believer. Notice that in the context of 16, it says your learned is edified. But it doesn't use edify again in 25 and 26. It uses in report that God of the truth is among you. That's what he uses there. So, when we come together like that, utterance gifts play a major role. We have gotten to the height of speaking in tongues. But Paul is saying, it is prophecy that gets the maximum job done. It's prophecy. Prophecy is tongues plus what? Tongues plus interpretation. If there's any way you can prophesy, is to speak with tongues and then interpret. So the unlearned and the unbelieving, they will come in, okay? And they are judged of all. Judged by all. And they are convinced by all. Now notice judged by all and convinced by all. Look up. He said, if all prophesy. That implies that we all have the same capabilities to bless the unlearned and the unbeliever. Because I use the word all, the word of all, that word there is by all. That is each person. So he says in verse 26, as you brethren, when you come together, that's his church meeting, every one of you has, he has So whose responsibility is it to have? Eh? Whose responsibility? It has to be yours because it says desire. When you desire, you have. If you desire a psalm, you will have it. If you desire a doctrine, you will have it. If you desire a tongue of prayer, you will have it. If you desire a revelation, you will have it. That is what you say here. So, what plays a major role in our meetings will be desire. And that desire, I'm going to show you in a couple of moments, does not happen during the meeting. So, the utterance gifts and revelation gifts, they play a major role in the church. Let me take you back a little bit. You know, I showed you how utterance and revelation will lead to the power gifts. What I discovered is this. Both looking at scripture, firstly, and then my private life. The utterance gifts seem to produce boldness. There is a boldness that comes out of it. We saw it in Peter in Acts 2. There is a boldness which will be now further ministered in Acts 3. If you observe, by Acts 4, they will be shaken. And then they went to pray. And then they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You see a trust there again. They spoke boldly the word of God. The first thing really is that the utterance and revelation gifts, they give boldness. If you don't know anybody who is bold in the Bible, you know Paul. And Paul is saying, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. And he said again to them that he prophesied more than they did. I've told them that he will pray in tongues and then pray in the understanding of 1 Corinthians 15. He now says, when I am in the church, I will speak 5 words in understanding than 1,000 words in tongues. That means that when it comes to prophecy also, is a major. So look at this. I was saying this. Now the apostles definitely, we've seen it, they were known as, you know, they were known as the ones who moved the power of God. Do you know they couldn't stop anybody from the utterance gifts? I mean, it happened to everybody the same day. Okay? Whether you are Paul, as a Peter, or you are James, or you are John, that the same day we all spoke with tongues. You know, you can say that Pastor Ibojo, the same day we spoke with tongues. And then the same day we prophesied. And all that. And obviously, because they were the apostles, they were left with the power gifts. So they are, because they had seen the prior experiences, they left them with the power gifts. Now, when we look at Acts 6, when they were going to pick 7 men, the apostles said, who are full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom and of honest report. Now, full of the Holy Ghost is a man full who regularly demonstrate the utterance and revelation gifts. At least the utterance gifts. Let me see if you understand that. Sure. And they picked Stephen. And they picked who? They picked Stephen and picked who? Philip. I mean, those two we know. And look at what happened after. So those two were known for being full of the Holy Ghost. They were known for utterance gifts. They were known for utterance gifts. Because in Acts 4, all of them in the church were filled with the Holy Ghost. So they were known for utterance gifts. So this was, you know, were beyond just once in a while. You know, these are those guys who practiced the things of the Spirit to that degree. By Acts 6, you will now see Stephen. There was now a step up. Stephen among the unsaved now had a clarity as touching miracle signs and wonders. Same thing with Philip. By the time Philip got to the point where he was now supposed to demonstrate the gifts of power, you see clearly how he did, Acts 8, 5 and 6. But there was an history. He was a man full of what? The Holy Ghost. Let me see if they are following me well. So the option gift is a starting point. It's so peculiar to the church age as it were. You know, it's a starting point. So these two men were full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, full of the Holy Ghost in the Bible. When you talk about that, go and check the thing with the Spirit, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. You know, a man full of the Holy Ghost, Paul being full of the Holy Ghost, said. You know, you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you're looking like a moron. Full of the Holy Ghost is something demonstrated in your utterance. That is, you walk in inspired utterances. So they are seeing these people, they will speak, people will be blessed. They will speak. You just see, Philip will just speak, and then people will be blessed, people are comforted, they're edified. And then as he was being, they said, give us such men. They say, I know Brother Samuel. Every time he speaks by the Holy Ghost. Why? Despise not prophesying. Now let me ask something. This is just for you to think. Look at verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. How do you prove things? How do you prove things? It says, okay, let's take it once more. I'm running now. Now, it says, convert. So it says, despise not prophesying. And it says, quench not the spirit. The same terminology, you know, he had used earlier. The spirit of the prophet as subject to the prophet. 1 Corinthians 14:32. Talking about the things of the spirit. He says, do not quench them. You know, there are some times like that. It's very easy. One of the, you know, strangest balance you can keep in ministry is when, you know, you are strong on doctrine and you are strong on the flow of the spirit. It's a balance that I don't know many people that are able to keep that balance. People often go to one ditch, you know, or the other. They often go to one ditch or the other. Now look at this. He says, despise not prophesying. Of course, that's talking about utterances. Utterances of tongues, interpretation, and then revelation. So don't despise it. Now let's see 21 together. 1 Corinthians 5. Take it again. Now let me teach you on something here. It's been a while I did science, anything science, but let's look at it. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. I mean, let's look at a laboratory. You want to prove. Now, what exactly are you proving? Don't get lost. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. What are you proving? Think now. You are proving what is good. Abi? By taking in all things. So you want to look for starch. You now bring in different materials. You want to test for something. Okay? So you bring everything into the lab. You begin to test. Then you test. Then you test. You can't prove something by looking at it. You have to do something to it. Are we together here? Alright. Now, so that means that verse 19 or 20 lends credence to experimenting the things of the Spirit. Like I say, to experiment. So if somebody gets up today and says to us that there will be famine, when Agabus got up and said there will be famine in the land of Judah, what did the church do? Did they send it when the famine started or before it started? So what are they doing? I thought proving all things is to wait until it comes to pass. It came to pass. What did they do? Look at this. Yeah, look at this. Prove all things. How many of you are good at experimenting? You don't have it yet. He's experimenting now. Prove them all fast. That means you prove some things and they turn out bad. Are we together? Okay. Absolutely. So look at it. What is the prophecy? as we read that of the old world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Okay? So he says, which also they did, and sent it to Caesar, and the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief of the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So at what point did they send it? Did they allow it to happen? Eh? Okay, let me think again and think. Did they allow it to happen? You are not following me. Okay, when he held the gaggle and said, look, the Jews, you are just the land of the Gentiles and all that. How will you prove that? How will you prove it? By what? Are we together here? You know, we have thought that it means when somebody comes up and says, no, here. And then oftentimes people now stop at just quoting scriptures to us back. They just say God is good. And as you walk in the light of his word, they are careful not to be proven bad or proven good. You are quiet. You just say we'll come up, and then he doesn't want to be like Agabus and tell us that this is going to happen, showing us by the Spirit of God. So he said, we are judging. What are you judging when somebody comes and says, you are a new creation? Your life is the life of God. Is he saying anything by the Spirit? You are fine. Is he saying anything by the Spirit? What is he showing us by the Spirit? Nothing. What he has just done is to, you know, typically just all scripture is given by Joshua, profitable for, you know, doctrine. Why would you go and speak in tongues? They come out and tell us, and you shall, and then, as you walk in the word of God, and you know the word, you will grow in this light. It's in the Bible. He says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Because when we come back from coming, we look at experimenting the things of the Spirit. That's where we're going to. Where we're going to experiment. So don't be afraid if you bring your samples. I will bless your samples. But at least you have started. Praise God. So the point is this. You know, when it comes to hold fast to that which is good, you cannot know in the meeting. Amen. You cannot know in the meeting. So when they say, it says, prove it. How do you prove something? You find out whether it is what? True. So let's just run now. Prophecy, therefore, is a vehicle that channels spiritual resources. Is a vehicle. If you look at 1 Corinthians 14, 23 to 26, it says things are revealed when we interpret tongues. Things are revealed. When you come together, each person has a psalm, a tongue, an interpretation, a revelation, a lesson, an instruction. Let all things be done unto edifying. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 now. Hallelujah. How many times did he use revealed? He used it in verse 24, 25, 26. Again, he speaks of it in verse 30. Again, he used the word revealed. So, there is revelation. Things are revealed. Now, when you use the word revealed, you can't be revealing to me now by telling me I have eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. I have eternal life. I am born of God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Something is, the word means to disclose something. An information that is disclosed. Now look at this. It says that, you see, when If a man speaks in tongues, let it be by two or three by three, and by that course, let one interpret. If any, there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Obviously, speaking in tongues and having someone interpret is obviously the truth of a babe. That's what it is. It's a babe. Let the prophets, no one interpret tongues for Paul. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Look at what is in the prophets when they speak. He says, if any be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. When he says another, that is, as he is speaking, he reveals something to someone. He says, let the first hold his peace. What is he saying? He's saying that when the prophets are speaking, he says, and there is a disclosure, that disclosure should take preeminence. That disclosure at that point should take preeminence. So keep quiet. So in utterance gives leads to revelation. There seems to be a gradual process, progression. You may know, prophesy, he says, one by one, and all the men and all will be comforted. So when the things of the Spirit are in demonstration in the congregation, these are the things that it will lead to. It will lead to prayer. Prayer is part of what's going to happen. Paul says, when we come together and you speak with tongues, I will pray with the Spirit. So prayer is involved, there's Spirit involved, and there are things revealed. Prayer prays, and things revealed. Things are revealed. They are disclosed to us. Now, do you know that prayer will also involve praying for the sick? Prayer will involve praying for the sick when we come together. Disclosures also, revelation will involve the gift of healings. We have seen how, you know, the gifts of healings are in demonstration via word of knowledge and the sign of spirits. Demons can be cast out because something is revealed, is disclosed. Now pray for the sick. It speaks about you have a sound. James said, as any afflicted, let him sing psalms. So that means they will be singing. Singing. Obviously, there will be joy. Joy that will produce edification. The point is this. Streams will burst forth from the demonstration of the Spirit. It's just normal. Things will burst forth from the demonstration of the Spirit. Things will just happen. The way it will happen, when we start with tongues, look at, we started with tongues in verse 2. We went into prayer, praise. We went into edification, revelation. Just in the same line. So, things will just burst forth. And we now have, you know, different things happening together in one single meeting. Now, look at Acts 4. In Acts 4, you know, Peter just healed the sick and John. And when they were through, there was persecution in the place, and you know, they called the church and then they prayed. When they prayed, the Bible was full of the Holy Ghost. When those were there, was shaken together, they spoke with the word of boldness, and with great power gave the apostles witness. Look at that. So things being filled with the Holy Ghost, the utterance is led to power. It led to signs and wonders. So meetings will take shape via the understanding of the people and eventually produce boldness. You don't get inspired in a meeting. It is only a babe that gets inspired in a meeting. They are looking for inspiration. 1 Corinthians 14:18. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul brings the effect of tongues to the meeting. Paul brings the effect of tongues to the meeting. He comes to the meeting and then he prophesies. He comes to the meetings and then he reveals things. He comes to the meetings, he prays for the sick. When we come together, I will is the key factor. Each one of you has, so he says, I will. And the point is this. Most of us, this is about knowledge. If you know that when you speak with tongues, you can interpret. You know you will interpret. Amen. How many of you never interpreted tongues for a while when you got filled with the Holy Ghost? I think that's everybody now, except you want to lie. Let me see your hand. How long? For a long time. Some of you, enough years to write Acts 1 to 28. But you know, how did you first interpret tongues? Do you know you were just told? Do you know you had a vision and an encounter? You know you did not see an angel. Praise God. Are you together? You just interpreted. And then you, for the very first time, I remember when I went to last week to teach them the things of the Spirit. I will, you know, ask people to come out and, you know, give utterance. Don't let me talk too much. You know, I know some of you, the world and all that. They just come out and say, she must be dropping syllables. You know, they were just getting to know that they had the Holy Ghost. You know, they used to think like they enter Holy Ghost and come out. But when you know you have the Holy Ghost, you have to speak. You know, some of them are now pastors. They now all the people like, no, and they are now speaking. Nothing changed though, is only understanding. And when you have understanding, you are bold. You see, the same way, there is a revelation in your prophecy. You've only not looked for it. He is there. Praise God. He is there. Yeah, you are in a hurry. No, when you are in a hurry, you don't find things. You are in a hurry. You want to quickly say something that we will not judge, so that we will not prove all things. So you just say, some people don't commit themselves in prophecy. They just say, thanks be unto God, who leads us into triumph. You are just remembering scripture. Let me tell you, quoting scriptures as prophecy was done by the Old Testament prophets. It is now written. That's no longer prophecy. Don't just take a scripture and tell us. That's not prophecy. That is the Bible. Amen. Prophecy is to speak by the Spirit of God and bring edification to us. Don't start a teaching seminar. Oh, that's the way. Oh, that's the way is in you. That is actually a revelation on its own. That's the way of God. Oh, it causes you. It causes you to overcome. No, sorry, you didn't overcome. You are overcome. He's struggling with doctrine. Amen. Are we together? He says, if anything be revealed. Do you know, when the unbeliever comes among us and we are quoting scriptures, nothing is not convinced that God is of the truth among you. He says, the secret of what? Is it by quoting 2 John? You just say, I have the scripture. It's not in my heart, it's in my hand. Amen. It's the Old Testament prophet that prophesied and it became scripture. Don't have your own. And don't do revised standard version. Praise the Lord. Are we together? So, simple. You know you can desire. Hallelujah. You can desire. I expect that camp meeting. Some of you just tap up and speak. And 3 people and 4 will respond to what you are saying. 10 will respond. Some 16 people will respond. Some 3 people will get healed. Amen. That particular fellow will just call out his name and he will come out. Because they are there. So you have done enough of tongues plus scripture. Amen. Amen. It's time to prophesy. Hallelujah. Are we together? You know, I'm actually closed. Amen. I'm done. Stand your feet. Let us praise God. So you know, we're ready for camp meeting. Praise God. We're ready for camp meeting. We just have we see. You know, say work and die. Katusha. Kawa went am a poor bad. I'm a poor good. Hallelujah. You can die, Katusha. Hallelujah. You know when you die, you know when you are doing party, the party. Maybe it's your good grandfather that died. But he channels it to the guy who is, you know, trying to make a decision. You channel the tongue to that direction by interpretation. There is somebody, you know, who is having issues at home, is fighting over in his house. He thinks the kingdom of God is his house where it will suffer violence. So you channel it to him. The tongues give you a direction to speak about love. Alright? Then again, there's somebody who is not sure whether he should marry his cousin's friend or his friend's cousin. They are the two. So again, as we speak with tongues in the assembly, we channel it toward him and then we reveal, you know, something to him. And then somebody else who is just in church and just wondering and just looking around, what's going on here? Then the tongues again will reveal what is in his heart. Amen. So what have we done? We've taken the same source, part of the same source, and we have channeled it to different areas to meet people's needs. Let me say, is that clear to you? Is that very clear to you? Alright. But at least, imagine if you now just have the piping system in your house, and then you connect it to your gate. You have enough air blowing out. The once in a while when there is rain and it drops into the pipes, you open it up, it's called a miracle. But you also connect it to the source. Praise the Lord. Connect it to the source. Stones plus interpretation will produce revelation to produce edification. The application is to give meaning to tongues. That's what we have just said. It's not, tongues is a sign. Okay? It's a sign. If, for instance, I come into a place like this, I will have this, you know how police talk. I mean, Pastor Lam is not here. You know Pastor Lam, you know. Pastor Lam is driving you, and you see police, you just say, Oscar 3483 and say, okay, pass. Because so that is sign. He has communicated something to them. Now, as you know, he says that to the police and he says, oh, Oscar 1644 Alpha Beta Go. Now, I'm sitting in the car. You know what I'm saying? Go and use it for a ritual. Then there's now instead of a policeman in the first seat that says, it means don't pass Oshobi, go through Mushin. They have given a meaning. Alpha Beta 2624, if you translate it, you will get what I just said. So I speak to God saying, Mongra Hadabos, I say, Mombala Balafa. You want to translate, you'll be lost. Interpretation is to give meaning. It's a sign. Okay? Let me say that's clear to you. It's a sign. So you give meaning to it. You give meaning to it. Where are you with? You now sit down and say, sugar bar. She wrote it down. You go, okay, sugar bar will go back to Nigeria. She wrote it down. It's a sign. Okay? Tongues are a sign. So in every sign, there must be what? An interpretation of the sign. And that interpretation, again, comes from the recreated human spirit. Let me see how that's clear. Are we all together? Beautiful. Okay, so when that sign is interpreted, verse 26, it will come out as a psalm. When you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, interpretation. When you interpret tongues, you have a psalm. A psalm represents something like when we sing to bless God. that if I sing in tongues, my spirit sings, and I give thanks well, you know, 1 Corinthians 14, 15 and 16. So we sing a psalm which encourages us and gives praise to God. Also, we have a doctrine. That word doctrine doesn't mean a teaching session. It's a lesson, an instruction. That's where you get the word instruction. Somebody is given an instruction. But sometimes when we interpret tongues, you hear something like, be calm, be prayerful, wait on the Lord. That's what an instruction. Don't run, be patient, walk in love. That's an instruction. Now, a revelation can also come where you have, you know, things that are said like, you not hear someone here. We are specific. For those of us who are, you know, I will begin to reveal something, you know, to people. But all that will come when tongues are interpreted, when there is a meaning given to the tongue. Are we together? Are we together here? Good. So, tongues plus interpretation is prophecy, and prophecy produces revelation, which includes the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the sign of spirit. And that is the demonstration of the spirit. Say, I can demonstrate the spirit. I can, let's close now, demonstrate the spirit. I can demonstrate the spirit. I'm enabled, I'm able by utterance given to me by the Spirit of God to demonstrate the Spirit. I speak with tongues, I interpret, I prophesy, I show things, I instruct, I reveal, because I'm born of God. You know you can now. This is church. You know you are not a stranger. You know, when I was a tenant, and the way you enter your house as a tenant, you just enter, then we had two flats, then we had this, I had a neighbor. Sometimes we have issues where you know park, who pass where, somebody pass first, somebody pass second, you know, a couple of things, we share the keys and all that. And the way you enter, particularly when your rent is due, you know. You come in, boom, the way you talk, that is where your house here, where I stay. The real room is where I stay. But when you move into your house, there's this sense of freedom. You are relaxed. You sit down. You know, as I go and tell people that they don't have the party today now, there'll be noise. You determine who has the party in your house. You come in both, then the way you knock the gate, then the way you enter, there are a couple of things, because it is your house. Now, church is your house. Be relaxed. Nobody is coming after your soul. Amen. I want to tell you that sometimes when I wear a singlet or bag, carry nothing, just my shorts, I say, this is not my house. This is my house. If anybody comes, this is my house. I can't be in my house and be wearing tie. This is my house. You don't like the way I have in my house, go to your own house. Church is your house. Nobody is coming after your soul. Nobody is thinking, is he going to get it right? Besides, it's your father's house. Praise God. You know, you can speak with tongues today. You can interpret today. You can bless someone today because it's your house. So be relaxed. Don't feel like something is going to hold you. Don't be like, hey, because you are born of God. Hallelujah. See, I'm in the Spirit because the Spirit of God dwells in me. I have the Spirit of Christ. I prophesy. Let's speak with tongues.